And happy Sunday morning. Susie Jones back from the Emerald Isle. Josh Wheeler at the helm. Al Schock doing news today. Al, welcome back to me.
Best thing I've seen in 2 weeks.
Aw, aren't you nice? Yeah, I had a grand time. Appreciate you saying that. But it's nice to be back, to be honest, to be in my own house, in my own bed, not living out of a suitcase. Now, Al, have you ever been overseas? Is that something you and Honey would ever do?
We haven't gone yet.
But you went to Newfoundland. You went over there.
Newfoundland is about as
far away
as you
got.
We've been to Hawaii and we've been to Newfoundland. That's the extent of our travels. But why go to Europe if you can go to Newfoundland? We loved it there.
Thanks, Al.
And Newfoundland is very Irish. There are people talking to the Irish brogue there.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Right. That was tough understanding it. And Josh, thank you for helping me set up this show today and
get ready.
And this week, we're going to talk about drunk driving because it is something that is important. And I had a chance a couple weeks ago. There was a press release that came out about a family member of an impaired crash victim wanted to speak out about drunk driving and the impact that it's had on her life. And so I talked to her on the phone. We did a news story, and I said, you know what? Why don't you come on the radio with me when we can spend more time talking about it? And Trish, thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming downtown. Why don't you, if you don't mind, tell me a little bit about Trish Whaling, what happened to you in your life, and it was 12 years ago, is that right?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about it.
So we lost my daughter, Jordan, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple days after Christmas, and the highway patrol came to my house and said that there had been an accident that she'd been involved in and that she didn't make it. From there, I called my family members, and we went through all the process that you go through when you lose somebody. And I remember the funeral director asking, you know, what we would want to set up as a memorial. What was she passionate about? And I remember thinking to myself, she was 18, so she was passionate about shoes and purses. And, you know, I kind of stumbled with that for a minute. But we decided to form a team and run for her. So we created the Run for Jordan that first September, right after we lost her. And we've been running every year since then. We joined MADS team, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, in 2020. And we've been in their event, which was Walk Like Mad, until this year they changed it to Move With Mad. And we've used that as our platform to keep Jordan's legacy alive and spread the word about this tragedy and what you can do to prevent it.
And we do get frustrated. We say this again and again in every holiday and every St. Patrick's Day and 4th of July. We say, plan a sober ride, plan a sober ride. What do you think ultimately will get at the minds of those drunk drivers to just make a different decision? Do you know? Have you thought about that? Yeah, I mean, that's the magic.
I wished I knew the answer to that, and then I could maybe help solve this problem. My the way that I go about it, so MAD has several opportunities for me to speak. They do, they call them victim impact panels, and people who are offenders are required to go through this to meet their court requirements. And that gives me an opportunity to tell them what I think they can do to help make a change. And one of the things that I think people just don't understand what the limit is in their own body. They don't understand how alcohol affects them. They've never taken a breathalyzer. They don't know what 0.08 feels like to them. So they go out and they have some drinks and they think, oh, I'm just fine. And they don't know. But I think if people went to Walgreens, bought the over-the-counter breathalyzer and took that after being in your own home, try a couple of drinks and try that, and then they would know, oh, wow, two drinks is it for me, or one drink is it for me, or beer affects me this way and wine affects me this way and mixed drinks affect me this way, so that when I go out, I have a mental note in the back of my mind that says, Trish, you're going to be here for 4 hours. You can have two glasses of wine. Trish, you're only going to be here for an hour. You probably shouldn't have two glasses of wine. Trish, you haven't eaten all day today, so maybe you shouldn't drink.
Yeah. We're talking to Trish Wheeling. Am I saying it right?
Wheeling,
like Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
Like who you went to see last night. She was at Farm Aid last night, so we're both a little tired. Thanks for sharing your story. We're going to continue with it as well. It's 15 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Sunday morning. When we come back, we're going to bring on to the show Gus Colbo, who is with the Minnesota State Patrol, and also Gina Longobardi, who is with Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. And we'll get more insight into this and more of what people can do. I think that advice to go home and try it yourself. And we also want to invite people to jump in. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We're back right after this. And we're back here on this Sunday morning. My name is Susie Jones. Happy to have you with us listening. It is Sunday, September 21st, the 21st day of September. You should probably play that as a bumper music a little bit later on, Josh.
I could.
If you could, just to get the energy up. We are talking today at 651-461-9226 about drunk drivers and how to get drunk drivers off the road. We're just kind of coming off end of summer, and over the summer, nearly 300 law enforcement agencies from around the state partnered with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, Office of Traffic Safety, all taking part in this two-week extra enforcement campaign. And they had extra people on board during the campaign. And the focus was to stop impaired drivers before they hurt someone or themselves. And as of June, more than 13,000 people were arrested for driving while impaired in Minnesota. 50 people died in alcohol-related crashes. Again, that is why the law enforcement agencies are out partnering to try to do something to stop this. So also on with us this hour is Gus Colbo. He is a Minnesota State Trooper, works in this, and wants to talk a little bit more with us about the consequences and what people need to know if they make that dangerous choice to drink and drive. Thanks for coming on, Gus. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lucy. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the upheaval of that it does to someone when they get that drunk driving ticket.
Well, they don't usually get a ticket. They get arrested and they have to go to jail for a process. But it's definitely a shock, a reaction, a disbelief. We get to see whole faces of regrets and anger. It's really unpredictable.
When you say all faces, so I was, you know, in studio with us as well as Trish, and I wonder sometimes, is it young people? Is it older people? Does it go all across the board in terms of people that make that bad decision?
I think it's the latter. I think it's all across the board. I cannot point to a specific demographic or a specific age group. I really think it varies all around.
Yeah, yeah. And I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, Gus, that a lot of times it is the repeat drunk drivers that keep driving drunk. Like if you get arrested and go to jail for a repeat, and you are a repeat offender, it's likely you'll do it again? No? Yes?
Well, two things. Number one, the studies that we learn at the academy do indicate to that. But also just from my own experience, I would say, without having stats in front of me, close to 40% of the people that we come across impaired are on their second or more offenses, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. What are the consequences? So you, what can happen to you if you get arrested for drunk driving? What happens? You can lose your license. Tell us the penalty.
Yes. For starters, obviously the person will go to jail. The vehicle does get towed, and with that comes towing and storage fees. The person may spend the weekend or longer in jail, so there is a loss of wages and a disruption of life as well. From there, the individual may have to post bail to get out, so that's going to be another financial expense for that individual. And then when they get charged, they eventually have to go to court. So that's going to be a lot of time spent back and forth dealing with all the legal matters, any legal fees, all the court appearances, and ultimately what the judge will determine for the offense. But then also we have the civil side, which deals with the revocation of the license. At the minimum, 90 days, could be longer.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's plates are revoked on their second offense or a high concentration of BAC, the license plates get revoked as well. So that's going to be another expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really go up all the way to a person losing their vehicle.
Yeah, right. And Gus, this year there are changes, I think, in Minnesota, stricter penalties after a state law was passed. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, that is correct, Susie.
And that is essentially what you're talking about here, right? These new restrictions, new penalties, stricter penalties for people who choose to drink and drive. Do you think it'll make a difference?
Well, I can only hope it makes a difference. I can only hope that that's an effective deterrent. Cannot tell you that how effective it'll be. We can only hope.
Yeah, that's sad. You wish there was something magic that could make people not drink and drive. For example, an ignition lock might work, but I'm sure people find ways to get around that.
Yes, unfortunately they do. I've seen that happen, yes.
And for you personally, how frustrating is it to see people do this again and again, and maybe even you might have arrested the same person twice?
It is frustrating. When there's a will, there's a way. And so people always find ways to get around the system or find the loopholes and try to use that as a disguise to perhaps get by an officer, trooper. Doesn't always work, but
mm-hmm.
People try, definitely.
Yeah, they surely do. Well, at this time, I'm going to invite to the program Gina Longobardi with Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Gina, thank you for coming on with us on this Sunday morning. I know it's early. We have Trish in studio, we have Gus on the phone, and you on the phone. But as you've been listening now this first half hour, what comes to mind to you, and what have you heard that you want to continue on talking about, add to?
Good morning, Susie, and thank you so much for having me. I would like to just talk a bit more about our programs, to just expand a bit on what Trish had said. We are very fortunate to have her speak at our victim impact panels. And as she said, they are for the people who have been convicted and must participate in these programs. So it's so helpful to have someone like her, because we believe that anyone that has been convicted would benefit from hearing how these crashes affect their lives. They affect people's lives. Their lives are forever changed, and it's so important for them to hear this, you know, firsthand. So we have Trish speaking at our in-person panels, and then we also offer the panel online. So that's a big part of what we do. And we also have our prevention side, where MAD is in the schools trying to educate our youth so that they have the power to make informed decisions. So we are speaking to children as young as fourth grade. We do a Power of Me presentation for fourth and fifth graders. We do Power of Youth for middle school ages 6 to 8 and also 9 to 12, where we really talk about this being a preventable preventable instance when we educate them on how to make the right decisions and talk to them about really what is going on and to trust themselves and to not give in to peer pressure and have the knowledge and the tools to address those pressures and encourage them to be a positive influence on their peers.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. It is 7:29 on a Sunday morning. My name is Susie Jones. It is our health hour head to toe, and we're talking about a situation that affects our health, affects our lives, because even if someone doesn't die on the road, they might be physically injured for many years to come. And when we come back, we invite you to be part of the show as well, 651-461-9226. What are your thoughts? Do you think could help maybe get people to stop drinking and driving? Maybe you've had a situation in your own life you want to share. 651-461-9226. We're back right after this. And we are back. We're talking about drunk driving and what you can do to prevent it. And we have with us three people this half hour. We're going to kind of bring it all home and talk about it together and also invite you to be part of the conversation at 651-461-9226. We're talking about drunk driving and how it not only impacts the person that has been arrested for drunk driving, but also maybe the person that has been injured or the family of someone who's been killed. And we're talking before we took our break there for weather with Gina Longobardi. She's with Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. We also have Gus Culbaugh. He is with the Minnesota State Patrol. And then again in studio, we have Trish Whaling, whose daughter 12 years ago, Jordan, was killed in a crash while riding in a vehicle with an impaired driver. She was just 18 years old. I want to come back to Trish in studio here. Trish, she was a passenger in a car. And I think, like, my daughter, Josephine, was 16, and she was in a passenger in a car with an impaired driver herself, and she was injured. The person wasn't drinking, but they were using other substances. And I said to her, in the nicest possible way, why didn't you get out? Why didn't you say, I don't want to be doing this anymore? This is very dangerous. Please let me out. I'll walk home. I'm not too far from home. You know what I mean? That's the thing that we want maybe to educate young people, say, be brave. And if someone is being reckless, get out of there and come up closer to the mic.
Right. So she was the passenger in a vehicle. At 18, I don't know that she was necessarily aware. He wasn't stumbling around. He was 0.09, barely over the legal limit. He wasn't driving crazy. He wasn't speeding. The roads weren't icy. Semi changed lanes, and his reaction to that caused the accident that took her life. She was in the back seat, had her seatbelt on, you know, and this happened. You talked earlier with Gus a little bit about repeat offenders. The national statistic is 30% will repeat offend. Here in the state of Minnesota, it's 50%. For the health state, I think we can definitely do better. We should do better. There's no reason to do it. The impact panels that I speak at, and Gina can certainly add to this, there are many people that are two-time, three-time, four-time offenders, and they've sat through an impact panel and made that decision. And I don't know that always there's a speaker, but when I speak, there's almost always myself and at least one other person that speak about the loss that we had and that we've had to live through and the impact that it's made, not just on myself, but my I had five daughters, so my four other daughters, my grandchildren, my siblings, all of her friends. I mean, it's huge. When he was sentenced, the judge was just super awesome for us, and he let us overfill the courtroom, and he let me speak and introduce her as she was a daughter, and my husband stood up, and she was a sister, and my girl stood up, and she was an aunt, until we had literally the entire courtroom filled, and he made him get up and turn around and face all the people that he had affected. Another statistic that is just mind-blowing to me is every 37 minutes, somebody is killed in the nation in a drunk driving accident. So that means while we're sitting here today, two people are going to lose their lives. Two families are going to get notified like we did. And by the way, shout out to the State Patrol. They did a phenomenal job coming to my house. The men that came there were exceptional in sitting with my family and I through the worst day of our lives. But that's huge. Every 79 seconds, somebody's injured in an accident involving a drunk driver. That's 300,000 people, accidents a year. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to me. And these aren't, I have a scratch. Oh, I broke my arm. I mean, some of these are devastating accidents where you're a quadriplegic or a paraplegic. And those are, to me, some really staggering numbers. And I think Gina and Gus can certainly add to that.
Gina, do you want to jump in here? We just got a text from a listener who said that his nephew was killed by a drunk driver and had also multiple prior DWIs, and that person didn't get jail time. So, Gina, to you, I say, when you hear, I mean, her story, Trisha's story with their person, what about increasing the time in jail? What about making it like, okay, if you get three DWIs, you go to prison for 5 years? If it was scarier,
I think the idea of that, and again, the hope that would make a difference, of course, as a society, we want stronger punishments, right? Because we've lost a life, probably in one way or another, if not through death, but serious physical injury, like Trish has, explained. So that would be ideal. And we are constantly working with legislature, and we just had our 45th anniversary, and we were just at the Capitol and, pushing for legislature. We had many of our staff there and victims and survivors there pushing to make change.
And Gina, did you lose someone? Is that why you're in the fight?
No, I'm glad to say I have not lost someone, but prior to me working for MAD, I was a victim advocate for 16 years, and I worked with vehicular fatality almost exclusively, and I have been privy to too many cases.
Yeah, too many cases, and the frustration obviously is too many cases where the person has a repeat offender, which I, again, we just saw this recently in the Twin Cities with that drunk driver who had five DWIs and drove drunk into a crowd at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. And I'm a sober person, and I have very little sympathy for drunk drivers because, I mean, I know if you're an alcoholic and you're drunk, you don't have your faculties, you're not using your brain because you're drunk, but there's just got to be a way to bring the numbers down, like Trish was just saying. Yeah, Gina?
Yes, and I do agree with you. Matt is working diligently on our HALT Act, where they're trying to get technology into vehicles that would not allow the vehicle to operate if someone was under the influence. So the technology is there. It's been signed into law, and we are really trying to push that through so that this doesn't, it's not even an opportunity for it to happen anymore.
And then, Gina, did you talk a little bit before we took our bottom of the hour break about the power of you?
Yes, it's the power of you, the power of youth.
Youth,
okay. Yes, youth, where we are presenting in schools. At driver's ed programs, at community events, at sports events, and really educating the youth about what alcohol does to their brain. We're really giving them a lot of information. We're giving them statistics, so that they are become more aware of it's actually more common not to drink at those ages than it is to drink. Mm-hmm. And when youth are consumed by peer pressure, they don't realize all of that. But being, given the knowledge that that's actually not the truth, stand you have the power to mm-hmm. make a difference. You mm-hmm. don't have to give into this, and giving them, you know, the information so that they can make the right choices, informed decisions, safe decisions, and know that they have that ability to say no or to remove themselves from the situation, and give them the avenues to do so.
I want to bring this up. We had a texter just texted in this, and I had the same question for myself. The text line is 651-461-9226. Thanks for sharing some of your stories. We're getting a few of them in addition to the person whose nephew was killed. A texter writes, I was in an accident with a drunk driver August 23rd. The driver of the other car was drunk, had no license, and had just had a drunk driving accident in July. He's out now again in our community. The state patrol officer told me he was the worst of the worst offender. So, you know, that's the fear, that you're out there with these people that are just completely devoid of any sense of responsibility. I get, you know, to Trish, what do you think when you hear a text like that?
To me, people talk about losing Jordan, and that was a horrible accident that she was involved in, and it's not an accident. It's not an accident at all, especially, yeah, I mean, you're a repeat offender. You've been through this. You've been told this. You've listened to a panel that, you know, somebody like me has spoken at, and you made that choice. You aren't educating yourself on how not to do this, and you've listened to somebody that could have been you. You know, you when you're sitting at a victim impact panel and you're listening to me speak, that's one of the things that I say. You know, you guys are, you're lucky. This is a second chance for you. You could have been involved in an accident that caused this. The person who caused Jordan's accident, like I said, he was 0.09, so just over the legal limit. He wasn't speeding. He wasn't driving crazy. He was, you know, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to, you know, and
was he yet, remorseful?
At first, he was really out to take care of himself. He actually fled the scene. And they, you know, it was winter, so they, you know, tracked him down with his tracks through the snow. At first, no, he wasn't. He played the legal game, and he, you know, fired his attorney. So then we came back the next month, and then he wasn't mentally capable. And then he came back the next month. He wasn't physically capable. Came back the next month. He fired his attorney again.
Oh, no.
So we came back to court every month for 14 months.
Oh.
Quite appropriately for me, his sentencing day was on Good Friday. So I laid it out there. I took my moment to just tell the judge who Jordan was and what the void was in our lives from losing her. And then I just left it in God's hands and the judge's hands to give him the sentence.
What did he end up getting?
He got 116 months.
So how? What, I never remember that. Years.
That's almost 12 years.
12 years?
I mean 10 years. 10 years. Years. Sorry.
Is he in jail now?
No. So he served, you know, good time. You serve, I think it's 3/4 or 2/3, something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he served the full amount with good behavior mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Got out. He's been back in jail since then.
Oh.
So he's not, you know, hasn't learned. But, yeah, I mean, and one thing that I want to mention, and Gus can pipe in and give the actual real numbers on this, but I did speak a few years ago at an awards banquet for the State Patrol, and it was really a shocking event for me because they were talking about the number of DUIs that they had passed out, and in their industry there is something called a hat trick, which is if you give 3 DUIs in one day, and there is an officer, or that year there was an officer, I mean it was an unbelievable amount of those that he had given out through the year, and was recognized for just being really diligent to get drunk drivers off the road.
And Trish, and then we got to take this last break. When you say drunk drivers, the world has changed. You know, alcohol is
correct.
One thing, and people are drinking THC drink. They're smoking weed. Marijuana is legal. Does that just open up a whole new can of worms in terms of, maybe we can ask Gus that after the break.
And Gus can certainly tell you what you know, that what they have to go through so that they can recognize what that looks like on an individual, because there aren't field test for that.
Let's do that. Let's take this final break. When we come back, we'll talk to Gus about that. Also, someone wondered, the United Kingdom, England, Ireland, fewer drunk driving deaths than in the U.S. due to harsher penalties and more uniform enforcement. Interesting. We'll talk about what's happening around the world after this on News Talk 830 WC. And we are back with the last segment of the hour of our Health Hour Head to Toe. We're talking this hour about drunk drivers as they pose a threat to all of our health. And we have on our Newsline, Gina Longobardi with Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Gus Culbaugh with the Minnesota State Patrol, and in studio, Trish Whaling. And we're all going to finish up this last segment by kind of bringing it home, kind of tying a bow on it. But before we do that, I want to ask Gina about the question of repeat offenders, and also maybe we'll start with where we are in the world with drunk driving, because off air, during the break, Trish and I were talking about overseas in London, in England, in Ireland, in Germany. There's a different attitude toward drunk driving. They have stricter laws. It's almost like frowned upon, you know, societally, like they have a different attitude toward it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think for me personally, I would agree with you for everything that I have ever heard in comparison to other parts of the country, to the United States. It does seem like our issue here is so much more out of control. And I don't have the answer for that. I don't know the reason for that.
And Gus, why don't you jump in here too? Because we wanted to bring you in about, we're kind of a little bit jumping around, but looking at other countries, what is your take on it?
Yes, other countries, like Trish mentioned, they have a different societal, the way that they view these kinds of crimes. And yes, unfortunately, we are at a different stage here in which it's not as considered as serious as those other countries have.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, to all three of you, and I'll start with Trish, like, wondering if it was a penalty of 10 years or 5 years in prison, if that really was the penalty, no question, no time off for good behavior, boom, that if it was that heavy-handed, would that make a difference? I don't know, Trish, you start. Do you think it would? I mean, it's taken on the alcohol industry. It's a lot of pressure, you know.
I do. I think
Wait a minute. You can just hit. Oh, go ahead. Keep talking. Sorry. That was me.
Yeah, I do. I think that if there was more of a penalty, the dollar value that it costs you, you know, increased insurance, towing your vehicle, all the things that Gus had talked about, that is something. But people find a way to, you know, pay that off over time or whatever. But if you had to go to jail, I think that would be a big deterrent. You'd probably think a little bit more seriously about whether or not you should be getting in that car.
And to you, Gina, is that something in your list of legislative priorities? And how hard is it to get new laws passed making stricter penalties for impaired driving?
Well, it's very difficult. It takes a long time to make change. When you think about even how long it took to get seatbelts in cars, it does take quite a long time. I can't speak too detailed on legislature because that is our government affairs part of our organization, so I don't have that much to share on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not easy.
No.
If it were easy, I think we would have changed our laws quite a long time ago to match today's struggles, really. What we're working against now is so different from what we were dealing with as a society when most of these laws were written.
Right. And Gus, to you, when you're out there on the roads and pulling people over, is it more difficult now with the legalized marijuana and people with the THC drink? Are you having to deal with a much different scenario?
Well, as of recent, I believe it was the third quarter report from the BCA indicated that marijuana has surpassed meth as the most substance other than alcohol that they tested for in for DWIs. Is it more difficult? I think it does require a little more investigating. It's not impossible, but it requires a little more patience and more technical skill to be able to locate, remove those impaired drivers.
Yeah, because a person that's high, do they drive different than a person who's drunk? I don't know.
Exactly what the campaign says. If you feel different, you drive different, and it is very true.
And are you using that thing now, that new tester out there for the THC?
Right. We are not. That's something that was used as a test bed for down the road. So that was only temporary. We're not using that kind of technology right now.
Do you think it would be helpful?
It would be extremely helpful. Yes, it would be. And I hope we can get that day soon.
All right. Very good. Listen, we are out of time. I cannot believe it's an hour. Thank you, Trish, for coming in. I really appreciate your honesty and your willingness to come in and share your very painful story. Thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity to, again, have a platform to talk about the dangers of drinking and driving and the need for change.
And to you, finally, Gina, final word.
I just encourage anybody seeking services. We are always here, victims, survivors, anyone seeking help, education, please reach out, mad.org. We're here to help.
Awesome. Have a great day, everyone. We're back after this. ECO.